Hi, Diane.
Hi, how are you?
I decided I'm going to hold the microphone today. So, I guess my first question for you is, where was your dad's medical practice located?
I was born here in Charlotte, and it's Diane Weitch, in case you need to know all of that. I was born here in Charlotte, and we lived at the time in First Ward. So from the time that I remember, my father had an office on Brevard Street. So it was like 2nd and Brevard. And most of the professional buildings were over in that area. He had an office in Dr. Watkins. Thomas Watkins owned a medical building, and it had a pharmacy in it. And he had a number of doctors in the building. Dr. Lowe, who was a pediatrician, Dr. Wilkins, who was a medical doctor, and Dr. Watkins. Thomas Watkins and Thomas Watkins Jr. were both in there, and they were dentists. So I don't know if there were any. It might have been. Alexander Funeral Home was right next door. The Queen City Pharmacy was down the street. The Lincoln Theater was in that area. That was all on between 2nd and Brevard Street, and some other buildings where, you know, doctors and lawyers had their offices. I don't know if I would ask too much, but.
And what were some of the landmarks around your father's office? What can you remember that was, you know, any businesses or places of living?
Well, like I said, the Lincoln Theater was there. The Queen City Pharmacy, Alexander Funeral Home, and apartments, you know, houses, buildings. I don't remember. I guess there were some houses around. I'm talking back. Oh, God. 40 years. I don't know if I can remember that far back. Because soon after, well, during redevelopment, of course, he moved over on the west side of town. But the neighborhood was pretty much a self-involved neighborhood. There was a restaurant there. I remember that. Queen City Pharmacy did serve at that time little snacks, hamburgers, stuff like that, milkshakes. You got all those kinds of things in there. And I'm sure restaurants were around there. I spent some time when I was younger there, and there were houses because we had friends there. Daddy had patients over there. And as I think when I was around 12 or 13, I got to work in his office. He let me work for him in the summer.
I understand that you went out on house calls with him. Can you describe your experiences going out on those house calls? Any particular experience that you remember?
Well, I do remember a couple. Right, on evenings when, after dinner, we would, that was when they had family dinner. We'd come home after dinner, and Daddy would do his house calls at night. So Mom and I would both go with him on the house calls. And they were kind of, you know, it was just a normal thing to do back then because people didn't go to the hospital or they, you know, the emergency room wasn't there, but they was there, but they just went for really bad emergencies. But for typical house calls, people had colds, people had whatever. I don't know why he went there because we were never allowed in the room where he was. One of the things I do remember, it was a house that, and people lived in all kinds of conditions. Some people had very nice houses. You go in, you knew them, you sit there and talk with them. I talk to the family. They just tell you to sit down. Sometimes Mom and I, a lot of times, if the two of us, we just wait in the car for him, which wasn't a bad thing to do because you could sit in the car and wait then. You weren't afraid to be out there. I did go with him once in one neighborhood, but it was in First Ward, I think. I don't know why I was with him alone, but the house had a fire, so all the back of the house was burned out. There was only one room in the living room where they had all the food, they cooked. There was no light. I don't know if they had running water, but I know they didn't have any light because the only light was a fire, and I was sitting in there. Daddy had gone back in the room, you know, to see the patient. But all I remember is, you know, when I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, we'll sit in this straight chair over here, and I did that. And then I heard this little ch-ch-ch-ch sound. And it was, the food was rattling in this box, and I'm thinking, oh my Lord, let me hurry up and get out of here. I guess it was a mouse or something, I don't know. But, you know, it was, there were a lot of different things you saw in people's houses.
I have a question about Brooklyn. What was the percentage of shotgun homes, your perception, in the area of Brooklyn?
No, I don't really remember now. I know I had some friends that lived on some on 8th Street. It's hard for me because, as I said, I was a child then, so I don't remember the way the neighborhood was set up, but there were quite a few. I do know that. I know there were a lot of them, and you see people sitting on the porch and things as I'd walk to school. And then I lived in First Ward where, of course, there were some shotgun houses, but not a lot of them. I know on 8th Street they had some. I can't remember, really, where else. I think on 2nd Street there were some, but how many, and actually, I know there were more of those than anything else.
Okay, back to your father's practice. African Americans, obviously, you know, they were, you know, not as, most of them weren't as economically well off. How did they go about paying their medical bills?
Well, I guess in a lot of different ways. I think a house call was only something like $2, and sometimes they had it, sometimes they didn't. And I know Daddy probably didn't charge a lot of people, or they said they'd pay him later. I think an office visit must have been $3-4. It wasn't very much. But then it was, you know, I don't even think it was even equitable till today's standards. You can't even measure that because of inflation. But I do know one person he did surgery on, and every spring and fall, he used to bring us vegetables from his garden. And we had peas, Mom and I shelled so many peas sometimes, but he was very faithful for about 5 years. Every spring, every fall, he brought us vegetables and potatoes and all kinds of stuff, beans. And so that was one way of paying. Daddy would come home sometime with soup, because you could eat people's food then, you trusted them. So he'd have soup, he'd have meat, he'd have some of anything. So I guess it was more of a barter system, but whatever people could pay with, that's what they paid for.
Tell me about your father's involvement in the Charlotte Medical Society.
Well, I know he was a member. I know he was president 1 year, or was it the president of the state? I think he was president of the state medical society also. Again, these might be some of my mother's questions, because being a child, I wasn't that involved, but I do know that there was the medical society. They did, and then there was the women's auxiliary. So we'll get Mama to ask them and answer some of those questions about actually what they did. From what I've heard her talk about, they would meet, they would support their husbands, they would do some volunteer work over at Good Samaritan Hospital, especially pediatrics. They would go over and do some work with the children, decorate the ward or something like that. That was pretty much just a support group. The medical society, that also included dentists and pharmacists. So they probably talked about, and Charlotte at the time was very small, so I'm sure they talked about medical cases, probably had some of the same patients, maybe talked about some of the new, a lot of the new things that were happening in medicine and with medication.
Okay, was there a tendency for doctors to marry nurses?
No, I don't think so. My mom was a nurse. A lot of the doctors I knew, I think, were married to teachers, actually. Mm-hmm. So I think it was kind of, I'm trying to think. Let me think. I think most of them were teachers that I remember, the doctor's wives.
Did your father ever talk about his relationship with Dr. Charles Drew?
I heard him say, my mom used to, they used to tell me how I played horseshoes with him. Of course, I don't remember that in Maryland, but he was, and I don't know how Daddy knew him, but he did know him. And again, at that time, there were not a whole lot of black medical doctors. They did have a national medical society at the time also, where all the black doctors would get together once a year. So I'm sure that through that and through some association, that's probably how we met. I'm not sure where Dr. Drew went to medical school, so I don't know if he went to school with him or not. Daddy went to Howard, by the way.
My next question is, your father, he was very good in surgical procedure. Tell me the things that he did. Tell me what he was known for in the Charlotte community for his surgical skill.
Well, at the time, doctors didn't have specialties. All doctors did everything. They delivered babies, and we used to say took care of you from the cradle to the grave. So they delivered you, they took care of you, they did your surgeries in between, and they took care of you when it was almost time for you to go. Some interesting things, even when I started teaching, one of my classmates was named after my father. When I came back here to teach, I had a student that was named after my father. He had his whole name. And I asked him, I said, the little boy's name was Rudolph Melville, which was my father's name. And I said, well, who are you named after? He said, I don't know. I said, well, ask your mom. So the little boy came back and he told me, he said, my mama said, ain't none of your business who I was named after. So I said, okay. I said, you go back home and you tell your mother that my name is Diane Weitch and Dr. Weitch is my father. So he came back. He said, yeah, but your father delivered me and I was named after him. So there were quite a few babies named after him. And but he did all types of surgery. I mean, he operated on everything. I met one lady who said, well, your daddy is the reason I'm a mother today. And I'm like, well, wait a minute here. She said, no. I mean, he operated on me. They told me I couldn't have children. And he did surgery on her. And I guess she had blocked tubes or something. I don't know. But soon after the surgery, she was pregnant. And he did a number of those. He was best known for his skills with mastectomies and breast cancer. At that time, that was the only thing they did. They did mastectomies, so they didn't have all the things that they do now. But most of his patients lived past their 5 years. A lot of the other doctors would come from other hospitals and they would have their younger doctors rotate through just to watch to see the skills that he did with mastectomies. We had one patient I know who died with breast cancer after he had operated on, but she died 50 years later. So I think that was a different breast cancer altogether. Actually, she outlived him. So I think she was well in her 80s when she died. He was also known for just about any types of surgeries. He enjoyed that. He enjoyed medicine. He really liked it. That was what he did most. And I could tell sometimes when he'd come home, some patients he was close to, because I said if you had them for a long time, patients were always with him. If something didn't go well or he lost a patient, I knew it would affect him a lot because his whole mood would change, you know. And I remember some of that. Especially if a patient died on him or something, he that would really, really, you know, when you hear that the surgery was a success, but the patient died, and that would bother him quite a bit.
So where would your father perform these surgeries?
Well, at the time, the only hospital here, of course, was Good Samaritan Hospital, and that was it. There was, you know, a few black hospitals, one here. I used to hear him talk about the one in Winston and one in Durham. I guess Greensboro must have had one. I'm not sure. But Good Samaritan was the only hospital where black people were actually allowed to go. Some white doctors had black patients, but they treated their patients at Good Samaritan Hospital, so white doctors could come into Good Samaritan Hospital. And those doctors also had, the patients had to go into a room in the back. They had to use like a back door. They couldn't sit in the waiting room with their white patients. And sometimes, you know, the expertise, and depending on what the surgery was, white doctors would have to come in and perform that surgery, especially if that was their specialty or something very, very unique. At the time, just Good Samaritan Hospital. And of course, that's where the Panther Stadium sits today. And they also had a nursing school there. And my mom went to nursing school at Good Samaritan.